Bill's in, and now we've just been joined by Dr. God, aka
yes,
Tozin.
My child.
AKA Tozin. We sort of had some echo then.
He's like, yes, my child. You have displeased me.
You're good at this.
That's James Earl Jones as God.
You're good at this. So Tozin's been reviewing a couple of really good movies.
Well, one really good movie and one annoying one.
Ah, right.
So yeah, we're talking about The Maze Runner, The Scorch Trials, which is the second film in the Maze Runner series.
Is this the annoying one?
Yes.
Okay.
and we're talking about The Martian. So I'll start off with The Maze Runner. The first Maze Runner film, I saw it and I hadn't read the book because it's based on a series of books. Because nowadays everybody's trying to get films that are based on a series of books. After Harry Potter, then Twilight, then Hunger Games, which are apart from Twilight, the good ones. The good ones. And now The Maze Runner. So I saw the first film. I actually reviewed that. It was one of the films I reviewed last year. And I really, really liked the first one because it starts off with this whole thing where you don't really know anything and the characters themselves are not really sure. They live in this place and they know that they have this thing that they have to go through every single day. And as the film goes along, you find out little by little more and more. And then when the first film ends, it ends with this thing where the whole world has just grown bigger. And then you're like, oh my word, there's something bigger going on here. I want to come back and see the second one. And this is the second one. And it doesn't have the same thing. You learn like nothing. You learn like nothing. And I know it's called The Maze Runner, but now they're out of the maze. There's just so much running in this film. And the thing is, like, there's so much running. There's so much going from one place to another. And it's like, why are they going from one place to another? They don't explain it. It doesn't go on. And they keep doing this really, really annoying thing, which is where they're like, oh my God, they're coming for us. They're running towards us. And they're saying that standing still, looking at them. They're like, run! Run! And they're standing still, looking at the guys as they're going, run! And as if they wait until they're like 5 meters away, then they turn and run. And this happens about 5 times because it's essentially, this film is, end up in this place. Okay, cool. We found that there's some danger here. Run away from it! Stop.
Right.
There's another danger. Run away from it! Stop. There's another danger. Run away from it! Stop. Why are we running? Where are we going? And you don't learn anything new. It doesn't develop the story. It doesn't move it forward. And you get to the essentially the bits of this film which develop the story, which are interesting, you could squeeze into 40 minutes. This film is over 2 hours long.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I struggle with that.
This film is over 2 hours long. I mean, because essentially you're sitting there for the first hour of the film, you learn nothing. You literally learn nothing. You see something happen. You're like, okay, that means that person is going to turn on that person. Happen. Look, I know it's going to happen, and it's like an hour before it happens, and in the hour you learn nothing. And it's padded. It wastes a good cast. I don't understand why it's over 2 hours long. And by the time the film ended, after the first one, I was like, oh, I really want to see more of this series. After this one, I just was like, I really cannot be bothered. Especially when I went and found out that there's 5 books. So,
oh, Christ.
Oh, and I'm thinking, if you were padding and treading water for most of the second film, I think it was originally a trilogy and then there's 2 standalones. At least I hope that's what it is.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't make me want to go watch the rest of the film.
Who's in the cast?
They were some really good actors. There's a guy called Giancarlo Esposito who played Gus in Breaking Bad. He's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he's so cool.
Gus in Breaking Bad, they waste him.
Yeah.
They waste him. There's another actor called Alan Tudyk who you would recognize if you see him, but like you might not. He's not like a household name.
Right.
Well, he was in a show called Firefly. He played Wash in that. I mean, he's really good and really, really funny. They waste him. Lily Tomlin, they waste her. Patricia Clarkson, they waste her. Like, these are all the actors. I mean, these are all the older
Lily
ones.
Lily Tomlin, she was the one in Lost. Is it that one?
No. Yeah. I think she was in Lost for a bit. I don't know. There were so many people.
What a shame.
Yeah, no, they waste them. They just, it's like you have these really good actors who show up and they seem, the only reason they show up is to get shot. I'm like, what the heck are you doing with? And the kids, they do okay with what they have, but they don't have much. They really, really don't have much. I mean, I was looking forward to it, and I was bitterly disappointed.
I'm intrigued. I don't think we've ever had a 1 before, or even a 0. So, what are you giving it out of 5?
I'll give it a 2.
A 2.
I'll give it a 2. It has some good bits. I mean,
40 minutes of it.
Yeah, 40 minutes of good bits. But there is one particular bit that I think they stole out of a Spielberg movie, out of the Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World.
Right.
It's like once they set the whole thing up, I was like, and they have some interesting ideas and interesting landscapes and like New York totally covered by sand and all that. And it's interesting to look at, but it's all this padding and running and no point and going from here to there for no good reason. And why are we going there? And what are we doing? And the story isn't developing. And it just annoys me.
Let's talk about The Martian.
Let's leave The Maze Runner alone. Now, The Martian, also based on a book. But the whole idea behind this is, like, I think it's written by a guy called Andy Weir. And this guy is, we're talking about nerds earlier and everything. This guy is obviously like a total space geek.
Right.
So the whole idea is that there's a manned mission to Mars called the Ares 3. And you have all these different people on the Mars mission. They're there. You have your botanist. You have your computer girl. And they're essentially going around and they're doing the research, collecting the samples to find out more about Mars and all the research that NASA is currently doing into Mars. There, a storm hits, and it's such a big storm that it's like, oh, we need to leave now. If not, we're gonna die. If we need to leave now, if not, we're gonna be stranded on Mars. So as they're all walking out to get onto the shuttle to go back into the orbiting space shuttle, one of them gets hit by a satellite. Disrupts the communications thing. He gets knocked down. All of his life signals go dead, and they go, oh my god, we think we lost him because they can't see him anywhere. So they all take off, and they think he's dead. He's died. They get back to Earth. On Earth, people are like, okay, we lost one of our... No, they don't even get back to Earth. But back on Earth, they go, we lost one of our astronauts. They have a funeral for him and everything like that. But it turns out that he didn't actually die. What happened was that a rod went through his communication system that communicated with everybody else. So that's why it went dead. I know his light signals went dead. And he essentially through his blood coming through, it created a seal in his suit, so he didn't actually die, so he was still alive. But he's stranded on Mars, and there isn't going to be another mission to Mars for another 4 years, and he only has food to last him 60 days.
Right.
Yeah. And
good.
So
right. So poor old Matt Damon, eh?
Yeah, this is played by Matt Damon. There's a guy called Mark Watney, and that's the basic of it. And the book is essentially, it's essentially this guy, and we were just talking about what you would actually do in the situation and what scientific method you could use to help you survive on Mars for 4 years alone and all that. So the film just goes on to that. This is a film that just goes from what, essentially you're waiting for what is going to go wrong next. So first thing that goes wrong, he gets left on Mars. And then you stick with him, and he's kind of like, okay, cool, what am I going to do next? What am I going to do next? How am I going to do it? How am I going to eat? So he's a botanist. He's like, how do I grow food to eat on a planet in which nothing grows? And he has to solve that problem. Then he's like, okay, the communication satellite is the thing that knocked me out, so I can't actually communicate with Earth. How do I get back in touch with NASA? How do I actually get into it? And it's about all the problems that he has to solve to go in. And this film is like, it's really tense in that I was sat down there just freaked out waiting for what is going to go wrong next. I was like, I don't care if things are going good now, I know something's going to go wrong next. Something is going to go wrong soon. Oh my god, my thing was going to die on Mars. and it happened. I mean, even after the film ended, I was still sat down going, something's still going to go wrong. I know the credits have rolled, I know the film's rolled, yeah. but something's going to go wrong. And I was just waiting. I was like, no, something is going to go wrong next. And it's really good like that.
Does it set out for another Martian film?
Oh, good god, No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Oh, because right. Yeah, because the book is just a standalone book. And I think one of the things that I remember when I was watching it, I've read the first chapter. So, like, you know, these free samples you get on Amazon, on Kindles.
Yeah.
I've read that for The Martian. They asked me to pay £2.57 for the rest of the book. I thought, no. So it's... so
cheapskate.
Yeah. No, just pragmatic. So it's like... And so, at the beginning of the book, they really get you this idea of, oh my god, this guy's alone on this island, which I think doesn't really happen. It doesn't come across as well in the film, but I think that the film actually does. As the film goes on, you get this whole idea of, oh my, especially because Mars just looks like a desert. It looks like somewhere in Arizona, the way they shot it and everything like that. But as the film goes on, you think, this would be a horrible, horrible situation to be in, especially like when they eventually, and there's all these things like back in NASA, when they find out that he's still alive, because look at the satellite pictures and they realize that things are moving around and they're like, oh my god, he's alive.
Yeah.
he's alive, he's moving around, we left him there.
So he don't become a Martian or anything, he's still a human.
Oh yeah, no, but
they call him the Martian.
They call him the Martian because essentially he lives on Mars and he's like the only living thing on Mars.
All right, okay. Well, don't spoil it, what happens in the end. But
No.
Does he have to wear a spacesuit? Can he breathe?
Well, it depends. That's what I like about it. It essentially goes into how these things actually work, like what NASA have built. So they have something called the HAB, which stands for habitat or something, which is all pressurized and all that, so they can go in there and they can breathe and they don't have to wear a spacesuit. But when you go outside of it, then you have to wear the spacesuit, right. And that's like your life support. So he's like, okay, how do I keep the life support going? This is where I am. This is where they're going to land, because the place where they're going to land in 4 years is like 300 miles away from where he is. But the vehicle he has can only go for 30 miles for an hour of battery. So essentially it's all these problem solving things that he has to go through. And it's a brilliant thing that, even though it sounds boring and nerdy and kind of like, oh, well, first of all, we've got to get the solar panels out. It sounds like it should be one of those, but it isn't actually. And it's actually very, very engaging. And it's a very, very good film.
Okay. How many out of five?
I'll give it 4 out of 5.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, I'll give it 4 out of 5.
I must admit, the ones that I've seen a clip of in the last little while, that's the one that intrigues me most of all. But yeah. How clever is the actual... someone's promoted this, obviously, this film. This film has come out, and all of a sudden they're saying there is water on Mars.
Oh, yeah,
this kind of ties in. That must give it some good publicity.
I think I'm pretty sure that NASA was probably sitting on it until the film came out, because I think NASA probably cooperated with them, because it has all the NASA logos and everything like that. Even the Chinese Space Agency comes in at one point and all. But it shows you. So I think for them, this film is a very good advert for NASA, because it kind of goes in. To the whole, look at what we do, we can colonize the whole universe. So I think it's very, very good. And it's if you think, I don't like sciencey stuff, go watch this film anyway, because the way they do it and the tension that it builds, and for me, I mean, it might not work for everybody, but for me, I was just kind of like, oh my god, and the fact that until quite late on, you don't know which way it's gonna go. You don't know whether, okay, it might look good now, but the next thing that goes wrong might just kill everybody.
I'm intrigued. I want to go. I want to go see it. Yeah. Thanks for coming in, Toes, and we've run right out of time. That's
okay, cool.
a two out of four and a four out of five.
Don't make it better than it is.
Two out of five.